It's not a bottomless pit. It's just a well that never runs dry. Your arms are always supporting us, and we just want to run in wonder and jump into your arms this morning. As little children, as we think of our blessed moms, the blessing of motherhood, Lord, we're missing some of our moms right now. Our hearts are aching and our tears are falling because we miss some of our earthly moms and grandmothers. But right now, Jesus, we ask that in this place in the hospital where Tim is surrounding his mother and Patty surrounding Tim, and they're praying over Frank right in this moment, that the gift of the nurturing character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would rest upon them. The nurturing image of the Father God that is revealed to us in motherhood. Lord Jesus, would that rest upon them? That the way a mother holds her children and grandchildren, may Tim and Patty and Rita feel that right now. That their church is interceding and praying for them and hugging them and loving them in such an awesome prayer stream that you, our Lord, through the power of the Spirit, now rests upon them right where they are. And Jesus, precious Jesus, we ask that you would anoint us today with the truth of your word, with the power of your Spirit, and with the wisdom to walk in it. Lord, help us in our frailties to be strong in the Lord, where the joy of that is our strength. Lift us, Lord Jesus. Allow us today to be filled with the wonder of your little children. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray as those who have hope, as those who have eternal hope, all-powerful hope, a hope that is filled with the resources of the Almighty God who spoke it into existence, created our soul, and heals our heart. Thank you, precious Jesus. We just take a moment, Lord, because our minds and our hearts are filled with precious memories. We just take a moment and meditate on the word that our moms instilled in our hearts. Fill us with your word. Fill us, Lord Jesus. The people of Gilead said together, amen, amen.
Well, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I just want to take a minute to talk a little bit about the event that's coming up at the end of the month. Women at Risk International is the group that we're going to be having. It's an event to raise awareness for human trafficking and slavery around the world, including right here in our state. So thinking about women today and mothers, I really would love for as many of you who can come to be there on May 30th. It's an open house. We'll be having information about the issue, including things you can do to be a part of the solution. And we'll have some jewelry and other clothing items for sale, which the proceeds go to benefit rescuing women and preventing them from a life of human trafficking. So if you can please join us, it'll be on a Saturday morning from 10 to 12. And please spread the word. Thank you so much.
Kids, just remind the kids that they can, I think they're pretty good. They know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing, but they do. Those kids, I tell you, Braylon, thank you. That's such a powerful thing to watch our young people, our young men and women, be involved in the kingdom of God and leading in a powerful way. Thank you, Braylon. It's good to have some college kids already home. See, a couple, three, and more to come. So I'm excited about that. Summer's always fun when all of our kids are home. You know, if you have a child that wants to be a teacher, just remind them of the three greatest reasons to be a teacher, June, July, and August. Just don't want to forget that. Moms, that's, I've talked to so many grandparents. They love to see the grandkids come, and they love to see them go. You know, it's a joy of grandparenting to see the character of your children revealed in their own children. It's kind of a fun thing, because you can get back at your children a little bit with that. Moms, do you feel blessed today? So what we're going to ask you to do, and you know, I can see today, since we have a little bit more sparser crowd, that a lot of the moms were taken out to dinner today early, so, and for brunch. But if you're a mom today, let's stand. I want you to stand in the presence of God this morning and be blessed as we bless you with a thanksgiving of God for you. Amen. Did you almost stand up? Thank you. You know, as we celebrate that, I just want to remind you, I had a whole bunch of single women that were my mom. I had an entire Vaughn clan. You know, I don't know if you know about the Pleiades farm or the Pleiades maple syrup, or you know that's a constellation of seven, right? And seven sisters. So you just, at least those, not all of them were that heavily involved in the church, but most of them were at least at one time or another. And of course, my most vivid memory was Mildred. And these are names that some of you don't even know who I'm talking about. But what I'm trying to say to you, just because you may not have natural born children, that means nothing if you have children in the church. I shouldn't say it means nothing, but don't, if you haven't had children yet, or maybe some of you have struggled with it, I don't know. I don't know what the case may be. I don't know if you never had necessarily your own natural born children, but let me tell you something. Some of the most highly respected role models of my life were single moms or single women who were teachers. And I didn't even know they were single at the time. You didn't know it. You know, you just thought there's just another one of our moms in church because of the way they loved me. The character of God that he instills in the nurturing aspect of motherhood, of the female image of God, is powerful. Was it hard this morning was it almost agonizing for some of you where your moms have already gone on to be with Jesus? It's hard. Well, this morning we're starting a series, and I thought, how do you connect the gospel-centered life with mothers? And then I thought instantly, how dumb was that question in my head? You know? But you know, as a pastor, you're always thinking, I got to connect things right. Well, you know what? I don't have to do anything. God connects all of his word to our hearts. It's not about how you connect something practically speaking. And for goodness sake, what better model of how the gospel-centered life is instilled in us than by our moms who brought us up in the church. And remember, the church wasn't a building, and it still isn't. It's you. So I know you're getting ready to go to dinners and all that stuff this today, and it's going to be a glorious time for most of you. I know you do it on different days, but whatever the case may be, you know you've either had your family thing or you're going to have it. And this morning I want us to celebrate the blessing of the image of God in our moms and in our church moms, single, married. Now, as you know, I mean, to have children is powerful. This week, I've heard of another couple adoptions that are coming on. Even on the radio, I heard about this lady that's on the radio, and she's adopting two children from Haiti, I believe it is. I know in Todd's class a few weeks ago, because we talked about it on Sunday morning, they talked about adoption. And I remember, you know, I talked about it, a perfect example of that in our Harvey's family, my family. Are you glad you're adopted into the family of God? You know, God reveals himself as Father, Son, and Spirit. I think part of the Spirit's character represents motherhood, don't you? All of God's character is revealed in our moms and our dads, our male and female. He created them. Absolutely. But, you know, when I think about how the Holy Spirit guides us, how he's constantly instructing us by his word, by the power of the Father through the Son. The Holy Spirit's constantly our guide and our friend. And when I think about that, it reminds me of moms. Maybe it's because I can still hear my mom's voice in my head. What do you think? Somebody said today, I think it was in class, I said, I know my mom's going to somehow talk to me today. And they said, yeah, she'll probably hit you upside the back of the head while you're preaching or praying. And I said, yeah, probably so, because I didn't wear a suit today. So, and you know, I struggled with that this morning, but I knew it was hot and humid, and I just didn't want to. And I said, Mom, you're just going to have to put up with it. Now, you know I'm not really talking to her. We don't do that. But in my heart, I remember her, and Barbara remembers her, and Dad, and all of us remember our mother with just powerful, vivid, wonderful memories. And so this morning, as we look at the gospel-centered life, I want you to turn to Psalm 119. Maybe seems like an unusual place to start today, but it's not. It's powerful. Psalm 119. Okay, would you stand with me? We're going to read 1 through 16. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless. Everybody raise your hand, you're blameless. Who walk in according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes. Remember the word statutes. And seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. Anybody got a witness to that? They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts. Remember precepts. They are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame. When I consider all your commands, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. I think we all can identify with that prayer. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. That's really powerful for us today. Lord Jesus, bless your word to our hearts. Amen. You may be seated. So, at the Welcome Center, there are these smaller books. They look just like this, but they're smaller. You're welcome to one. If you can't share, you know, husband and wife, that's okay. You can take two. But if you can, it would be good for you to do it together and take one of these books. And they're powerful. It'll help you through this 12 or 13 weeks, about 13-week study. It's called The Gospel-Centered Life, and it's all about the Word of God. And some of you say, well, I know I'm supposed to read the word. Listen, we're going to learn a lot together. Don't think you've already got it. that's setting yourself up for failure from the beginning. So today it's why we read the Bible. Now, we just read this psalm, and did you pick out the one verse that you were just really, really, really familiar with? What was it? 119, which verse? 11. Now, Don taught me in junior church, and my Aunt Judy taught me that verse. What's it out of? What thing did we do as children is that verse out of? The pledge to the Bible. Can you repeat that real quick? To the Bible, God's holy word. Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Wow, you guys are good. I remember it in junior church. I also remember it in Bible school. Eva Clausen and Celeste Richardson. Remember those names? Three of you do. They came every year almost and presented Bible school. And they had these huge At least they seemed huge to me at the time. I think they were only this big. But they seemed to be this big. And they were songs that were all written out, and they turned the pages as you sang the songs. Good news, Christ died for me. I don't know the rest. Good news, I live eternally. Something like that. Okay, see how well I learned it? So, I just thought of that just now, so I mean, it wasn't too bad. They had these huge songbooks and the pledge to the Bible and memory verses, and we were committing them to memory and to your heart. But I've never let that go. It's sunk in so well. So in the back over in the side of the church in our children's program, both at 9:30 and right now, we're teaching them the Word, nothing but the Word, the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, so that it will sink into them early before we get so old we can't remember where our keys are. And those verses they're learning right now will never leave them. The gospel of Jesus Christ will be so implanted on their heart and on the back of their memory banks that they'll never, ever lose it. I would encourage us to memorize as we go through this. Memorize that one, 119:11, or whatever you decide to pick out. But this morning, that's why we're studying the Word together. Because we need to answer the question, why do we read the Bible? Why do you read the Word? I forgot to take the clicker with me. I don't even know where it's at now. You guys can do it. So, might be back here. We've got 3 points today. Here it is. We have 3 points I want you to know. If you're a note taker, you'll like to write them down. So we want to study, or we want to have the Word speak to us in Psalm 119 about the first statement. We read God's Word to know Him better. That just sounds so redundant, doesn't it? Or it just sounds so simple, I think is a better word. It just sounds like, okay, yeah, we know that. But church, I want us to really let God speak to us this morning. Do you know Him? Do you really know Him? Grandma Margaret lived to be 104. She knew God. She knew God. We would try to get her angry, never could. I think the kids might remember, like Dad, and the kid might remember somewhere along the line where she got a little bit cross about something, but mostly it was nothing but funny sayings and a godly life. Oh, for heaven's sake. Now, have you ever got underneath that statement? I mean, you're basically Christian swearing, right? Oh, for heaven's sake. Well, I don't know how you put "for heaven's sake" in a disgusted statement, but it's interesting. I think I've told you before, she didn't have any trouble getting around until maybe 103 and a half. And nobody ever took her license. She willingly gave it. Kind of like Jesus. He willingly gave His life to you. So, you know, I think I've told you this before, but it's so funny. It still rings in my mind. She almost fell down. She had a couple little injuries now and then, but she almost fell down the front steps, and I came in and was mowing her yard or something. I said, "How you doing, Grandma?" I just pert near murdered myself. But as I go, "What? Grandma, what are you talking about?" "Well, I missed the second step and fell down on the ground." Now, she's 100, you know, at this point. And she showed me a bruise, and that was it. "Oh, no, it's fine." I pretty near murdered myself. I like that phrase, don't you? Pretty near. I don't know what that means, but almost. So you walk into the dining room, which never changed. Never changed. The Bible's open. The daily bread, the fruit of the vine, the WMF study book, the book you're supposed to read this month, Women's Missionary Fellowship, if you don't know what that WMF is. Sugar, mints, and maybe tea. "Well, I don't think I have anything to offer you, Brian. I don't think, there might be something up in the cupboards, I'm not sure." Oh, Grandma, I don't need anything to eat. Word of God, written all over her heart and out of every word she ever said. Now, she wasn't perfect, but to us, she seemed like it. She instilled the God's word in my heart because of her life. How about your mom and your grandma? Now, I realize we don't all have that. We don't all have that heritage. Guess what? It starts with you. Don't forsake or don't get disappointed or upset or even the slightest bit angry. You can be sad for a second that you didn't have that kind of heritage, but don't you dare stay there. Because guess what? In a few generations, somebody's going to look back to you, moms, grandparents, a few grandparents here as old as me. They're going to look back to you and said, that is my heritage. A couple generations from now, if the Lord doesn't take us home first, you're the one. You're the one that your grandkids are going to speak about, that you instilled the word of God in their hearts. Why do we read God's word, church? Why? Why do we read God's word? And I want to tell you that just for a moment, stay with me for a second. In Hebrews 1:1-2, it speaks about Jesus having accomplished everything, having fulfilled the law in and of himself. And Jesus, as we are given that provision of Jesus Christ from the before time to the end of time, Jesus reveals the word to us. He is the word. And so, as we pursue knowing God, which is, by the way, if you aren't taking advantage of the books that we're giving you for free out there, take advantage of some of them. There's Knowledge of the Holy, there's Knowing God, there's all kinds of incredible books that'll help you be addendums to this study. So the first point under the first point, point A under point one, Jesus reveals the entire Word of God to us. God revealed himself in the person of his Son that we would understand how to know him better. I also wanted to say to you, and under point one, that was A, B, would you seek him? Would you seek him with your whole heart? The second verse, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, his decrees. Verses 7 and 8, I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. Psalm 119:10, with my whole heart I seek you. I seek you. Are you, church, are you seeking him? Are you seeking him with everything within you? See, we can put the word on the shelf. We can have a family Bible. We can have a collection of NIV, NASB, Living Translations, the Message. We can have Research, Scofield. We can have we can have it on our iPhone or our iPad. We can have the word everywhere. But are you seeking him? Are you seeking his heart? With your heart, are you reading his word? How many of you remember when you first believed? Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you remember how you were consumed by his word? You couldn't get enough of it. Somebody said, read the Gospel of John. You read the Gospel of John. What next? Philippians. Okay, we read Philippians. What next? Read the Psalms. Read the Proverbs. You couldn't get enough. You were consuming his word. What's it like today? Do we think we've made it? Are you seeking him, church? Are we continuing to seek him the way a mother would seek her child? You know, I told you about the different personalities in my two grandkids, and of course my sons, their personalities are so distinct. And you have that in your family, how distinctly different your children are. Does it matter that they're different? Do you know how different you are to Jesus? You know, this morning we studied Nicodemus in our Sunday school class, and it was quite the striking study because of the personality of Nicodemus. Mothers, would you forsake any of your children, no matter what they've done? Would you ever disown one of your children? There are a few times I thought my mom might want to disown me, but she couldn't. I always came back. And, you know, if you look at the story of Nicodemus in John 3, or any other person, any other child that God created, can you imagine just with me for a minute? Jesus is the full embodiment of the Father. Now, he veiled his glory in order that people didn't disintegrate as they looked at him. You follow that, right? He veiled his glory, but he never ceased to be divine 100%. Veiled his glory for some of his attributes be on hold, but he was 100% divine. Can you imagine? He's meeting all these people that look like you and me. He had, I created you. What are you acting that way for? The Pharisees, Nicodemus, the Sadducees, you know, the Sanhedrin, and, you know, Pilate, and, you know, the high priest Caiaphas, you know. Wouldn't you just want to say, stop acting like that. I made you. It's like the Bill Cosby thing. I brought you into this world. I can take you out. You know, it's a funny phrase. Not much meaning, but funny. So, but God could actually do it. You know, it just had to be interesting to be the person of the Godhead who met the woman at the well, who wrote in the sand, who reinstated Peter, who told John, this is your mother. He loved his mother, his earthly mother. He saw in his own mother the attributes of himself, and he wanted her taken care of. Moms, you would never disown one of your children, certainly. You know, your children seek you and seek you. You raise them to be independent and they still come back. And you love it, at least for a few hours. Jesus never gets tired. Jesus never gets tired of you coming to him. He never gets weary. Oh, he'll straighten you up a bit. He'll lift you up and he'll send you back out. But he never gets weary of you coming to him and falling into his arms. Mercy, mercy. I love that phrase, that chorus, Dan. He never gets weary of his children. Seek him with your whole heart. Know. Seek Christ because he's the full embodiment of the Word. He is the Word. Seek him with everything that is within you. Seek him. As you do that, it reveals him more and more to your heart. To your heart. When Grandma Margaret was around, we used to just love just to go in and sit, didn't we? Dan's here and Barb's here. I'm trying to look at any other grandkids might be here. But you can relate. You can relate to your situation. We just wanted to go in and just sit with her. What was it like in 1923, Grandma? What was it like in 1910? It is incredible to think about what she saw, what she experienced. But the most important things that she would, and you didn't share unless she was asked. She never imposed any of her thoughts or her thinking on you. One time I walked in there and she was watching TV. And it was quite a step for her to get a TV, you know. And she didn't really ever care if it worked or not. But, you know, when you're all alone, when your husband dies at the age of 35 and you live to be 104, that's a lot of alone time. She never remarried. You go in, the TV was on. She didn't hear very well in the last few years. Didn't hear very well at all. So you could bang on the door pretty loud, and you know, and if it was locked, you might as well just go home. She may never hear you. But she heard me that time. I walk in there. She's watching TV, and she hadn't seen me yet. And she's going, oh, for heaven's sake. And she shut it off. It was the news. She's tired of listening to the negativity of the news. Because the Word of God was still open on her dining room table. Much more productive. Much more fulfilling. Much more joy. She sought God with her whole heart. Grandmas, moms, single ladies, young women who have your whole life in front of you. It's going to be a glorious life. But only if you seek God with all your heart and you see Jesus as the full embodiment of the Word and you let him fill you fill you with himself. A heart conditioned by close relationship with God becomes a basis for continuing in the ways of God. Number two. You know what you got to do with these things? You have to turn them on. Okay. Computer degree never really helped me much. We read God's word to live according to his will. Oh, I know, but I'm not doing a very good job. Esther Henry. How many remember? Man, oh man, oh man, this Christian woman didn't let you have an inch. You know, I mean, if you weren't sitting right, if you weren't dressed right, if your Bible wasn't with you, you were in trouble. She was in charge of JFY, and I went, it's kind of like the Home Alone thing. When I found out she was going to be the instructor, JFY was Junior Friends Youth. Junior Friends Youth. Okay, JFY. So I found out Esther was going to be the teacher for Junior for JFY, and it was like the Home Alone. She scared me to death. I was literally frightened of this woman. You know, I tell guys today, you know, you're scaring me, and I'm not afraid of anything. But I was genuinely afraid. But you know what? I found out. She loved your heart. She wanted to instill the word of God in you. She just wanted you to live according to his word and his will. Now, being from the generation she was from, she's just a bit legalistic. Just the tiniest bit on the legalistic side of grace. Oh, I know it's grace, but straighten up. I know God's merciful, but stop doing that. She really wasn't that way. But in, you know, when you first looked at her, you thought she was. But in reality, her heart was full of gold. Was full of mercy and grace. But what she didn't want, she didn't want us ruining our lives. There was something called the WCTU that all the older women were a part of. Does anybody know what the WCTU is? Women's Christian Temperance Union. So what's that got to do with me? I'm a boy. So in junior church, Esther Henry came down. You could hear her come down the steps. And she passed out these little cards. And it was a two-part card. In my little Bible that has a zipper and a bunch of pictures in it at home, the card's still there. One card was filled out, one side was filled out for her, the other side for me. Alcohol shall never touch my lips, and from all tobacco I shall abstain. And so you got your pen, and you're going, you know, and you hand it in, you tuck it in your Bible. It's still in Psalm 119 in my Bible at home. No, not really. It's in there, but I don't know where. But I never forgot that moment. And I adhered to it perfectly all my life. You know, her point, though, was simply what? Protection of the boys and girls that were a part of her heart. Yes, sure. Quite a bit of legalistic stuff in there. And we know today that the gospel gives us freedom. But it's not freedom to offend or freedom to harm or freedom to do ignorant things against God's word. It's freedom to know that we can't uphold the law perfectly, but we follow Christ to follow him better and more because we've sought him and because we can live according to his will, but only because he's given us the will of the Father through the Son in order to do it. Amen? So we have a lot of freedom in our hearts today, but that freedom is of protection to do better. So in point A, under that point, 2A, Church, we are blessed when we read and live. There's a blessing upon our life. Come on, you know that. That doesn't mean you get everything you want, but there's a blessing that rests on your families when you live according to the will of God. Psalm 119, 1 and 3, Psalm 119, 6, 9, and 11. Look at it, read it, study it this week. Your life will be blessed. It's not a blessing that makes you rich, but yes, it does. It is a richness of Jesus Christ. Philippians what? What's the verse I'm thinking of right now? Somebody speak it out. According to his riches in Christ Jesus. What's the first part? Oh boy, you guys got to read Philippians. I'll let you do that later. Point B. Do you understand how much you're informed and taught when you read God's word? When you live according to his word and his will, how much we are taught. Listen to this statement. This comes from, I don't know who it comes from, but it's from the lesson. Through his word, he teaches us the truth about life. Do we realize that we get the truth about life in general from his word and the plans we should take? He shows us the patterns of the world should characterize our actions, our attitudes, our relationships. He guards us by forbidding certain paths. Yes, we live it. We want to and desire to live according to his will. Because it keeps us safe. He keeps us safe as we obey him. Point C, under point two. We find treasure. When we read God's word, we find treasure. We find treasure that's stored up for eternity. How many of you know how, when they, do you remember that it wasn't that long ago they found the Dead Sea Scrolls? Do you recall at all about where they were, that Bedouin's shepherds found them in those catacomb-like hillsides up on the hillsides of the Dead Sea. And they were taken care of as though were precious treasures. And they are. They are. The Word of God is a precious treasure. What are you treasuring this morning? What has your mom instilled in your heart that you treasure to this day? I would just ask that one of the reasons, one of the many reasons we live according to, we read God's word, is to live according to his will, because it stores up treasures in our hearts. Not only his word in memorization, but the treasure of the eternal things that matter, the eternal things of life, the eternity of the treasure of his word in our heart, hidden, hidden, hidden deep in our heart. Those scrolls were hidden so well that they weren't found for 1946. Is that about right? For 1946? I think that's right. I didn't have the date right in front of me. And they kept finding them. As they pursued those catacomb hillsides, they kept finding more scrolls. And because of that, we have even more information about how God's word was put together by the Holy Spirit, because of that treasure that was kept for almost 2,000 years. So the character of some of the mom figures in my life presented the will of God to live rightly and righteously. Point three. We read the Bible because it gives us joy. So, church, this morning, there are about 120 roses right here. I can't even pick them up. There's so many. But if you didn't get to see them earlier, you'll see them here at the end of the service, because every mom and young lady and little girl gets a rose today. Single, married, mom, grandparent, grandma, you get a rose today. And the ones back in the children's department, make sure the little girls get a rose. Bring them up here. Let them pick one. There's something about a rose in a young lady and a woman that's a powerful combination. I believe God looks at our moms and our young ladies, our daughters, our grandchildren, our granddaughters as the roses of his creation. When we read the Bible, it gives us joy. Today is May 10th, Ida Mosier's birthday. That's my mom. You talk about a character. We miss her greatly this morning, don't we? But there was one thing about her hilarious, and she's a bit like Esther in Legalism, by the way, about her hilarious nature and the things she, Rachel Redder was telling me something in Sunday school class I didn't even know about. One of our pastors was saying something about a birth, but he didn't give any name. He started to pray over this family who was about to have a child, and she's like four rows back. Who's he talking about? And, you know, they turned around and said, she's praying. She says, according to Rachel, God and I have an understanding. Tell me who he's talking about. I mean, what do you do with that? So, there was a constant joy in her life. As, you know, we affectionately said she was crazy at times, you know. And, but not really. She's about as crazy as a brilliant fox would be, you know. And she had an underwriting joy in her life. She'd gone through so much, both in her childhood and with her all the health issues later in life. It was constant. One thing that was big with her was Christmas. And it seemed like for the last few years, every time she had to go to the hospital was on Christmas, you know. And it was just so devastating to her. Do you know that joy is a need in our life? We need joy. We need joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 That's scripture. That particular chorus kind of drilled it in, didn't it? Ida had joy that was unwavering. Not necessarily trite happiness, but joy. Joy is a need. We read the Bible to know God better. Yes, to obey his will. Yes, in obedience to him. But the rules for living and the knowing him better ends up in a source of joy in life of which there is no comparison. You can face anything knowing Christ through his word. Amen? There is nothing that can separate you. And guess what her favorite scripture was? Romans 8, 34 through 39, somewhere in there. You look it up. For nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither what? Neither, I don't know, I don't have them in order. Neither height, nor depth, nor powers, nor things seen or unseen, nor things above the earth or under the earth, nor principality. I mean, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And when you know that, there is a joy that will sustain you regardless of the circumstance, regardless of your what you would think of as enemies, regardless of those who come against you, regardless of any negative force in this world. Because why? The negative forces of this world, the darkness of this world, the things that would tear you down or bring you down are not of God. They're only of the enemy, and he is defeated. So joy is a need, and the only one who can fulfill that joy is Jesus Christ himself. Joy is a longing. Don't you long to have joy? Isn't there a longing to have joy? C.S. Lewis explained in Mere Christianity, only God can bring ultimate happiness. A car is made, I love this quote, a car is made to run on gasoline. That's kind of redundant, isn't it? Okay. So I went over to Edna's, and she had this lawnmower, and it hadn't been run for years. And Jacob wanted to try to get it running because you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't let something sit. You just shouldn't. So did one crank, which was really dumb to do that without checking everything, you know. And then we realized after some investigation that somebody had put kerosene in the fuel tank. I can't tell you who. I have suspicions, but I don't know who. I'm just being silly about the suspicion. It was probably a child, I mean, you know, or somebody that was uninformed. It was probably some city person who saw a yellow gas can and put kerosene that was in it in the gasoline tank. And it was really easy. I mean, I just undid the tanks. I said, Jake, just wait. Undid the tanks, and, you know, you smelled one, you smelled the other. I said, oh, first of all, this has been sitting there forever. This is not gasoline. Had two tanks. Took them all apart, drained everything out of both. Got a new spark plug, you know. Totally cleaned everything up, and it started on 1.5 cranks. Do you know what fuel you run on? A car is made to run on gasoline, and it would not run properly on anything else. Now, God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn. He himself is the fuel and the food that our spirits were designed to feed on and to burn. There is no other. That is why it just is just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about his relationship, because God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself, because it is not there. There is no such thing. C.S. Lewis. Point C under point 3, joy is constant. Joy is constant when we read his word. Let us run the race. Let us run with endurance the race. This is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen to this closing phrase. Jesus shamed the shame of the cross. I know that's, are you catching it? Jesus shamed the shame of the cross. He treated suffering on the cross of little significance. Church, I'd ask you, as we celebrate moms today, one thing that I'd ask you to shame the shame that people would put on you. It's of little significance. Anything we would bear in this life, anything you're going through, it's very real. I'm not saying be Pollyanna and don't consider it real. But shame the shame that the enemy would put on you. Make it of little significance. Live in the constant joy of the nurturing image of your God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Live in it. Bask in it. Be joyful in it. As mom approached the end of her life, she suffered a lot with pain. But her Bible was always out on the round oak table, the daily bread, the fruit of the vine. And I'd walk in, and she said, I said, why are you crying? I just had my devotions, and I miss my Bonnie. Her twin sister, Bonnie Levering. I just had my devotions, and I miss my Bonnie, and I started to cry because I missed her too. Bonnie was another mom of mine. She gave me anything I wanted. It's a really good mom to have. You had the twin that kept me in line, my real mom. And then I had the twin that treated me like a prince. And she would buy me anything. And she gave us a full glass of pop. We were never allowed to have a full glass of, you know, Pepsi. Bonnie would fill it all the way up with ice. And it was one of those tumblers, you know. Are you getting thirsty? At the end of Mom's life, she struggled a lot. And she missed people that were dear to her that had gone on. She'd say things like, I miss my mom, your grandma, Casta, and I wasn't as nice to her as I should have been. I said, I know, you're doing the same to me. And then, you know, after church, you didn't sing a hymn. You weren't even in here when we sang the hymn. He's out there talking to everybody. And, you know, she'd say, we don't sing enough hymns. I said, well, the elders made a decision not to do any more hymns for the rest of our church life. You did not. No, we did, Mom. I'm serious. It was Tuesday night at the council meeting. You know, and I just keep a straight face. And she's going to get me for that in a few years. There was an overriding and undergirding sense of joy, regardless of circumstance. And she said, Brian, is this what it means to suffer for God? So I don't think we have any clue what it means to suffer for God, but yeah, it's a little bit of it. Just live like you live with joy in your heart. How about it, church? Live each day as if it's our last. Jesus might come home before we leave, might bring us home before we leave, or he might tarry for 1,000 years or more. Live each day as though you're going to see him in a twinkling of an eye. Let's stand. Moms, come up here as you do that. Moms, come up, gather at the front as quick as you can. Men around them, men around the outside of them. Moms, come in as close as you can to these flowers, okay? Make it quick because I know you got to get to dinner. I'm sorry, we've been a little bit long. So come up close, and if the children are loose, bring them in, whatever you got to do. Ushers, go get the children. No, don't do that. You'll scare them to death. Guys, if you would, just kind of make a ring of protection around our ladies. Elders in position of authority, of spiritual authority and protection. Wow, that phrase, spiritual authority and protection. I think more than anything today, ladies, what God wants you to know is you're spiritually protected. Nothing can harm you. Nothing can befall you. The Lord has you. And these men around you represent that. I know not perfectly. But the guys of the church, not just husbands and fathers, but the other men of the church represent the fatherly image of God in protecting you. You need protection. And for our family, it's a big deal, you know, to have that knowledge that God is our protector. And I want you to feel that today. So if there's, very respectfully, put your hand on somebody close to you very respectfully. Anoint them with the presence of Almighty God. Oh, there's some really teeny little girls coming in. It's precious. And let's pray over you. Oh, Heavenly Father, may the divine protection of the everlasting arms of the countenance of Almighty God shine upon our moms and our ladies today. May you raise them up today as mighty warriors of tenderness and nurture. May all the character of Almighty God that is female in nature be blessed and infused in their heart, that it would be the overflow of the mouth when they speak to their children and to other ladies in the church especially, that we would be encouragers, that our women would be the encouragers that God has designed them to be. Listeners. There is no better image of Almighty God's listening capacity than in our ladies. And in the healing aspect of the Godhead, you have designed our women for that, Lord Jesus. Lift them up. Build them up. Lift their countenance. Lift their head. Their redemption has drawn nigh. Now, Lord, I ask that you would bless them beyond all expectation from the Word of God. Surround them with all the joy that you can give, and only you can give. Lord Jesus, may this rose represent the mighty Rose of Sharon, the one who, like a rose, was trampled on the ground for them.